You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hello, Troy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm loving what we're hearing in the background.
Already what we're hearing is going to give you the answer to a lot of questions.
What kind of questions?
Questions like, I got that Twin Peaks soundtrack last year. Are they ever going to release the soundtrack of Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me in the same deluxe vinyl edition?
And what is the answer to that question?
Well, since we're doing it on From the Crate, the answer is yes. I have it in my hands right here.
It's beautiful. Oh.
It's the item itself is really of a piece with the last Twin Peaks deluxe vinyl thing that Death Waltz put out. It's same die-cut cover, the same coloured vinyl. This time it's cherry pie coloured vinyl.
Cherry pie specifically?
Yep, and remember last time it was damn fine coffee coloured vinyl?
So they're really going for the mood.
Yeah, amazing. Now, the mood, that's what we're going to talk about, mostly about this. Now, like the Twin Peaks TV series, the movie was scored by Angelo Badalamenti.
Mm-hmm. Are your headphones just not doing it? It's a bit aggressive.
Well, no, I'd rather have headphones where I can actually hear. Here we go.
Sorry, we're getting a bit confused.
Angelo Badalamenti has scored it, and I think we talked about this last time, that when David Lynch first came to him, they sat down at a keyboard together, and David Lynch said, okay, you can imagine this. Imagine it's night, there's trees blowing in the wind. Remember this? And then Badalamenti came up with the feeling, just based on what Lynch had told him. Similarly, on this one, this really captures a mood. Now, a lot of people didn't like the movie Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. I loved it. Still do.
The music is so good.
Wow. This time, it's gone. Badalamenti has moved towards a kind of sort of smoky noir jazz that possibly didn't exist, but it sounds like something in your memory. Not only did he just decide to go for the idea of jazz, the people he used in playing it, Grady Tate is the drummer. Grady, who played with so many people. Shall I even try to remember who they were?
Sure. But he's mixed in this kind of string vibration.
Which is the real Twin Peaks vibe. Grady played, of course, with Jimmy Smith. That's what I was trying to think of, amongst others. I think he played on Oliver Nelson's Blues and the Abstract Truth as well. But yeah, it's strings. Well, it's actually keyboards. It's synthesizer.
Is it keyboard?
Yeah, it's Badalamenti playing. Buster Williams, the bass player, was someone who played in Herbie Hancock's Mwandishi group, between 69 and 73. The guitar player on this tune is a famous session player that not only did things in the 60s the Box Tops or sort of pop things. He also played that bit's amazing. Sorry, he also played on Mumbles
so
by Clark Terry, things like that. Anyway, so there's a really sort of deep, emotive kind of vibe, which is on tunes like this one, or parts
really,
of the score like this one.
It really sucks you in, is that? You want to soak in it.
Well, the thing I really like about it, and what I like about, the kind of soundtracks I like, you can remove the frame of reference and the reference is still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can hear it and it evokes a kind of visual memory, whether it's something you can see properly or not. And I think it really works on this stuff. It's not all exactly like this. There's some of the parts that David Lynch contributed that are a bit wild and nuts. And also, keeping with the Twin Peaks theme, not theme, but a vibe of it. There's one with Julie Cruz, Questions in a World of Blue.
Cool.
But the tune I actually want to play is... Well, didn't actually come from the movie. It was from the very last episode of the TV series, and it's the amazing Little Jimmy Scott singing. It's a tune called Sycamore Trees, which sounds like it's some kind of old weird jazz standard. It's not. It's a Bud Lamenti composition from the 90s.
Cool.
Ron Carter from Miles Davis's second great quintet plays bass on this one. And this one, it's just, I remember seeing it for, when it occurs in the Black Lodge. If anyone's seen Twin Peaks, they know what I'm talking about.
I haven't seen it.
You still haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, your mum must be so ashamed after the last time you said that on the radio. It occurs in the Black Lodge, which is somewhere which is kind of a different kind of dimension. And I remember seeing it and just chilled me. And still hearing it now with Little Jimmy Scott's amazing voice. Do you know who Jimmy Scott was?
No.
You might know him from, I mean, have you heard Lou Reed's Magic and Loss?
Maybe? No.
No? Okay. Or possibly you don't know who he is. Then never mind. You're going to hear him now.
Cool.
Sycamore Trees.
Holy moly.
There you go, Sycamore Trees. Jimmy Scott with Angelo Badalamenti and Ron Carter from the Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me soundtrack.
It's amazing.
Isn't it just?
Those vocals.
Yeah.
That bass.
If anyone's listening who hasn't actually investigated some of the stuff that Jimmy Scott did, I recommend they do. Like you, yes.
Yeah.
But Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me soundtrack, we got it on the shelves now. And like a lot of these amazing Death Waltz editions, it isn't going to last forever. So
I know.
Also, Twin Peaks, the next series, 25 years on, we're only going to wait for another 2 months. Not that it means anything to you, Hannah, having not seen the original nor the movie, but there you go.
Hey, look, I'm going to get on to it, okay?
I'm sure you've got plenty of time.
All right, just bring on the next track.
Next thing we're doing. Okay, next thing I'm going to show you what this is now. It's again, vaguely in the jazz idiom. This is Mark DeClive Lowe. Now, if you remember a few months ago, we listened to that really cool Blue Note mix that Mark DeClive Lowe had done. Now, this here is something completely different, not just cool in terms of that, but completely different to what Mark DeClive Lowe's ever done, I think, in the 20-odd years he's been doing things. This is basically a jazz quartet he's put together live at the Blue Whale. The Blue Whale is a jazz venue in downtown Los Angeles. Where is it downtown? It's either in Chinatown or Little Tokyo, I'm not sure. But it's downtown Los Angeles anyways.
Right.
And as suggested, this is recorded live there. Now, it's a jazz quartet, so instantly you're going to be thinking of it in terms of being an acoustic quartet. And I can see you looking at the cover and you're going, yeah, jazz, electric bass, alto saxophone. But Mark DeClive Lowe, his first instrument was grand piano. He's playing grand piano, but what are all those other keyboards doing around him?
He's got such a setup. Does he play two at once?
Plays two or three at once. I mean, what you got on this is he'll be playing, but he'll also be sampling what's happening live and like re-looping it and feeding it back in.
Wow.
And if that wasn't enough of a conceptual thing, this show, which was recorded last March, I think, record comes out this week, he has also decided that three of the pieces on this are like dedications to and investigations of some of his influences, specifically in this case Yusef Lateef, Sun Ra, and who's the other one, Ahmad Jamal, it probably says on the back, Ahmad Jamal. Okay. And assisting him in this is the really cool bit, who he's got in his quartet. He has on drums Gene Coy, who a lot of people are going to know from Flying Lotuses, You're Dead.
And, I played some Flying Lotus earlier.
And you played some Thundercat in the last day or so as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Gene Coy, but then people like me are going to go, he played with Pharoah Sanders, amazing. Brandon Eugene Owens, plays... God, what record? Who does Eugene Owens play with? Terrace Martin. Remember Terrace Martin's thing he did last year? Terrace Martin,
yes.
The Kamazi / Kendrick. Yeah. So he plays with Terrace Martin. And Josh Johnson, the sax player, who I only know from this weird group called Snarge. But anyway, these are his collaborators on it. It's still Mark's show, totally Mark's show. And I think rather than
what makes it Mark's show?
Well, you're going to hear that, not only in terms of the fact that, you know, in this sort of quartet situation, it's keyboard-led for the most part, but the way that he uses the electronics in alongside the acoustic setup.
Brilliant.
Is like totally, you see whose ideas. Although not to diminish those other fellows who are playing it. Should we play the Evergreen, which is the
first track?
Yeah, it's a Mark DeClive Lowe composition. And unlike the rest of the record, it's not dedicated to any of his influences. So
why is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think he was here a couple of weeks ago. You could have asked him.
I could have asked him.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that, Troy. But anyway, shall we listen to the first one, Evergreen?
Sure.
From the Mark DeClive Live at the Blue Whale. Mark DeClive Lowe, sorry.
Yeah. You just wanted to rhyme Clive and Live. I know your game.
absolutely sold.
It's great, isn't it?
It's so good.
If I can get a slightly technical for a moment, you'll notice that Gene Coy, the drummer, is this amazing way of like leaving the backbeat in some parts.
And really he's good. So good at just bouncing, like kind of like responding from all, like responding to all the other instruments.
Well, the essence of improvisation is in fact response.
Yeah.
From your collaborators as well as.
But I mean, is this improvisation?
Well, of course, yeah.
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 Okay.
Well, you'll find that there's very little things in the jazz idiom which aren't improvised. It's an improvised music.
Fantastic. Yeah. So good. Wow. So that's...
Max Clive Lowe, live at the Blue Whale. It's on his own label, Mashy Beats, which is through Rope-A-Dope, but we've got it over here. That's going to be on the shelves tomorrow. How's that?
That is fantastic.
Okay, so moving along, we've got something quite different. Although you said, haven't we just done Brian Jones' Sam Asker? Yes,
yeah.
It was only a couple of months ago, Third World Pyramid came out. Here is their new album already. New double album, yellow vinyl. This one is called Don't Get Lost. And as you pointed out, isn't Don't Get Lost a track on Third World Pyramid? Yes, it is. But this is different. It's rather than sounding like offcuts or something that was done at the same time as Third World Pyramid, I think it was done at the same time, it's a really interesting album in that it doesn't stick with one, you know how Brian Jonestown Massacre, that they'll have a focus for a while on motoric beats or mm-hmm. on, you know, things derived from Noi or on psychedelic kind of guitar music or whatever. And they focus on that and they excel in all these things that they do. But this one here is great because it's just stylistically, it's all over the place.
It looks like it's all over the place just from the cover.
Yeah, but it is. It's really cool in that there's stuff which they've like robbed some ideas from dub reggae and mm-hmm. It's just all over the place. I think the one we'll listen to is here's another weird thing is that if you look at the track list, you'll see one called Melody's Actual Echo Chamber, and you're like, wait,
right,
Melody's Echo Chamber,
yeah.
Okay,
the artist.
Yeah, so here's Melody's Actual Echo Chamber. You'll also see Groovers in the Heart, and you think, what, like D-Light? Well, it's not D-Light. Throbbing Gristle. What has that got to do with the band Throbbing Gristle? Well, nothing. The one we're going to hear is Fact 67. Now, instantly, there'll be certain people listening who go, it sounds like a factory catalogue number. I wonder what Fact 67 was. Well, in fact, it wasn't anything. Fact 67 was a Quando Quango 12-inch. Quando Quango, who had what's his name from ACR, Simon Topping, played in it. That was, but Fact, if it has the T at the end, it means it's the LP. There was no LP. Fact 67. I don't even, is that what Brian Jonestown Massacre meant?
Who knows?
I'm sure it is. Particularly that their guest on this doing vocals is a very famous fan of Factory Records. To the extent that he has Fact 50 tattooed on his arm, Fact 50 being the catalogue number of New Order's Movement, and that's Tim Burgess from The Charlatans.
No way.
Yes, he's the vocalist on this tune here, and I think that's the one we should listen to. This is out worldwide tomorrow, the album, the double album, the double yellow album. There you go.
Thank you so much for coming in, Troy, and for bringing us these amazing songs.
Pleasure as always.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.